The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Now, a survey has just been completed leading to a draft report on a review of the sex education programme in post-primary schools around the country. Apparently some 5,000 students, teachers, parents were all quizzed, and basically the question is our present system fit for purpose? And I think, according to a leak, it's going to recommend changes to do with more training in relation to consent, in relation to LGBT issues and so on. Well, we're joined in studio. It's a pleasure to welcome back Breda Lynch, President of ASTI, the Association of Secondary Teachers of Ireland, and David Quinn, columnist with the Sunday Times and head of the Iona Institute. You're both most welcome.
Thank you.
If we could start, because it's so long since I was at school, Breda. Back in the day, it was kind of like a furtive subject at post-primary school when I was there. Is there now a member of the staff assigned to do this? Do they get a black stranger in to talk about the biology of it? What is the status quo when it comes to sex education?
Well, it's not a stranger. It is not a member of staff, but quite a number of members of staff in any school would be involved in RSE. At junior level, it's part of the SPHE programme, which would be all about helping young people to build confidence, to understand themselves and their relationships, their friendships. And it's in that context that RSE would be taught at junior level. Now, it's very easy to, you know, the biology, the facts are straightforward, but a lot of the issues in RSE are about the complexities of relationships, about a lot of it is about self-esteem and about understanding yourself. And if you understand yourself and respect yourself, your understanding of sexuality fits in there very well.
And what's the ASTI view of whether the present sex education programme and curriculum is fit for purpose?
Well, we see there is definitely room for improvement. There are a couple of issues. One, you know, teachers, as I say, are involved in RSE education. But the reality is very often it's not necessarily by choice. They have a gap in their timetable. They're kind of shoved into a class and they may or may not feel comfortable with it. We would be looking for proper accredited training. SPHE, including RSE, is the only subject on the school curriculum that we do not have qualified teachers in. You know, nobody.
But is there enough to be taught to, you know, like, it's not like geography where you'd have four or five periods a week and classes and so on. I mean, like,
yeah, but
you might need that a year.
But if every student in the school has one period a week, even, that requires a lot of teachers. And certainly
sure,
it would be good if you had a few people who were trained in this area, were very comfortable in it. There are a lot of changes. And as you say, you know, is the current system fit for purpose? We would definitely say the issues have changed so much. Like, I think surveys have shown that a lot of young people are getting all their information from the internet, and that is not necessarily a good
place. I accept that. But what about the idea? I was just thinking, just say you had 20 people who did it full time, and they went around to each school, they were absolutely trained in it. You know, today they're in Mullingar, they come back maybe in 6 months' time to Mullingar, but they do Sligo and they do Dublin and so on, and they just are absolute experts in every aspect of it, as opposed to being a kind of add-on, ad hoc to your history teacher, geography teacher, maths teacher, whatever.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you, it shouldn't be ad hoc, but I think the evidence suggests that the people best trained, best place to do it are people who know the students, that it isn't a stranger coming in. There is evidence to suggest that it is good to have a relationship with the students that you're dealing with this issue with. But there's another big issue that very often is taught in groups of 30, and that's not ideal. There should be smaller groups where people are confident to speak their mind and that everybody gets a chance to be heard. So smaller groups of 12 to 16 would be ideal for this kind of education and training.
OK, and we'll come back to the training issue. David, what's your overall assessment of the status quo?
Well, I mean, like yourself, I haven't been in school in a long time. But I have two teenagers who have been through the system. And it would have changed an awful lot since a middle-aged guy like me was in school. they're taught a lot more. They're already taught about the various sort of things that are being proposed for the new curriculum, which is things like LGBT issues. So they're taught to respect everyone, regardless of sexual orientation or the kind of families they come from. I was looking at an SPHE, which is Social Personal Health Education, book that's already in schools, has been for some years, called It's Your Life. And an awful lot of what they're saying should be in RSE is actually already in that book. So there's already been widespread changes. And so far as I can gather, like, schools are already taking into account what students find on the internet, what they'll come across on social media. So any school worth its salt is already doing that kind of thing and ought to be doing that kind of thing. And whatever the school is doing, by the way, and whatever the state's planning, or whatever kind of new curriculum they want to go into schools, it obviously has to be done after wide consultation with parents and what they want. Because to
I want to ask you about that. Like, I mean, like, in terms of my own four kids now, they're all grown up and so on. The youngest is 24, 25. You know, basically, as regards sex education, who was Ask Your Mother? was my attitude to it. And also, the guy said, look, that was covered in school, Dad. Don't be worrying about it. So you think the parents should have the primary role? A lot of people, youngsters, don't like talking about their sexual relations in front of their parents.
I don't mean that. What I mean is whatever the schools teach should be after consultation with parents. So the parents obviously have a role themselves directly. The schools have a role, but what the schools teach, the parents can't be left out of the loop. Obviously, I don't think there's any teacher in Ireland would want the parents cut out of the loop. And we're going to teach your children this stuff and you're not going to know about it. We're not going to tell you about it. And we're not going to consult with you about it. So obviously, I mean, in a sense, it's a matter of indifference to me, whether it be the state or the church or some other church, has an influence over what's taught in schools. It has to be, whatever is taught has to be primarily done in consultation with parents.
Is there consultation with parents across post-primary schools, Breda?
There would be. Schools would all have an RSE policy, which would be public knowledge, and would be there would be consultation with parents, and you know the board of management would have to sign off on it, and there would be parents reps on the board of management. So yes, many aspects of education there would be consultation with parents.
And where do you stand on the issue of the primary sex education should be the parents in the family home or in schools?
Well, I believe young people's values very much come from home. School plays a role in education in the sense of information and helping young people explore who they are in programmes like this. But I do believe that a lot of what they believe comes from what they hear at home.
Now, from my day, a lot has changed, David. LGBT issues, consent issues. We hear in third level colleges very disquieting surveys of incidents of sexual assault, of people not understanding consent, leaving aside drink and all that, and drugs and all that kind of thing. And the universities and colleges now are holding these consent courses, which surely points up a lack of teaching in secondary schools at the moment.
But it also shows that there's an often very chaotic societal and cultural situation out there when it comes to these things, into which a lot of alcohol is obviously mixed. But any RSE course, indeed any course that gets taught in school, including maths, geography, history, it has to have an aim, and the aims have to be measurable. So is this actually working? So what are my aims, and what can we measure the outcomes we're seeking? So among those would be things like, have we seen a reduction in unwanted pregnancies? Have we seen a reduction in the number of sexually transmitted infections? Have we seen that sexual activity is delayed until kids leave schools? Because actually that is one of the aims of a HSE program called Before You Decide. It says you're better off waiting until you're older. So these are all measurable things. And have we got measures for the effectiveness of this? Because, I mean, do we even know what the purpose of an RSE program is? Because if you don't, you know, you simply don't know if you've delivered it successfully or not.
But is there not an elephant in the room here, which is Dr. Google and porn? And that people are picking up, you know, quite unreal understanding of sexual activity from porn.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And that's why, I mean, this has to be part of any course. So they've got to teach them, okay, just assume you've all seen porn. And you've all got to know this is not the real world. And you've also got to know it's massively exploitative of women. So you've got to know that too when you're watching it. So I don't think anybody would deny that. Parents have a role in saying this, as in mortifying as it might be for parents to talk about this. The teachers, who also, I think, sometimes find it a bit mortifying, also have to teach them about this. So, you know, whatever the information comes from. But again, we need to be quite clear about what the aims are of RSE and what a successful RSE programme would look like and how we would measure that success.
Does the ethos of the school, you know, given the Catholic Church is against premarital sex, is not in favour of gay sexual relations, really. Have you found in the ASTI that the ethos and the patronage of a Christian Brothers school, of a Loreto school, of a denominational school makes any difference to, you know, say, a vocational school?
I don't really think it does. I believe that a lot of materials on LGBTQI issues have been endorsed by managerial bodies. You know, there is not a broad opposition to that in schools. Now, you may have issues in particular schools, and sometimes, as David said, some parents may prefer their students not to be in an RSE class, and at the moment they have the right to withdraw their students, their son or their daughter. So that can be an issue. But in general, schools are inclusive places. I've been in a number of schools this year in my role, and it's very nice when you go in and you see the rainbow flag up indicating this is an inclusive school. So that's a huge change. That wouldn't have happened a number of years ago. So,
and that's commonplace in denominational schools.
Well, I've seen it in a number of schools, yeah.
Right. David, do you think the ethos is an issue?
Well, I mean, the ethos...
Or should it be?
Well, I mean, again, ethos, whatever the ethos may be, by the way, whether it be Catholic, Church of Ireland, Educate Together, whatever the case may be, ethos has to have an influence on the way the school does things. I mean, a school will have an ethos no matter what anyway. Even if it doesn't have a formal ethos, it will end up with an ethos. It will end up with a way it does things. It will end up with certain things it values a lot and other things it doesn't value so much. So by default, even if a school doesn't have a set out concrete ethos, it will end up with an ethos and a way of teaching things and a way of treating pupils, and will have attitudes towards respect and dignity. And all schools must teach absolute respect and dignity to all pupils, no matter what their background, in terms of family, sexual orientation, etc. And that includes Catholic schools. And as Breda was saying, the anecdotal evidence is that Catholic schools are already doing this.
Finally, training is your big issue for the ASTI. What are you looking for here in relation to sex education, Breda?
We're looking for teachers to be released from school. To at the moment, if a teacher is attending the training for RSE education, there's no substitution. That's a problem because it makes it difficult for the school to release them. So we need proper accreditation. We need substitution for teachers who are in training, and ideally a qualification that, you know, people would be coming out of college with this as their specialty, I think would be a very positive move.
As an add-on to, an adjunct to their mainline teaching French or music or whatever it might be. All right, big text response. Do keep them coming, 53106. My thanks to columnist with the Sunday Times and head of the Iona Institute, David Quinn, and Breda Lynch, president of the Association of Secondary Teachers of Ireland.